Thanks to Danny and other leaders of the church for the forward thinking and all the extra stuff that they've done to ensure our safety. I'm sure I can speak for all of us. Thank you for organizing the sanitizers. Thank you for organizing all of this. We appreciate all the effort that you've put into it. I want to encourage you today that you've come. You haven't come by accident. Okay. You know, the Lord works in mysterious ways. There's a true story of a meeting like this in England a few years ago. And there was a young man sitting in the back there. I think he was about 14 or 15. And the preacher preached, as I'm going to preach now. And he appealed for those who needed to give their lives to Christ to do that. And unknown to him, if my memory serves me, he didn't know that that young man at the back gave his life to Christ at the age of 14. And the story goes on, because that young man was none other than one of the most famous preachers in evangelical history, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And that morning, cold in a church where nothing much was happening, God spoke to that young man and used him through a very long and amazing preaching ministry in the center of London. And I don't know if you know that they used to write down his sermons. They used to telegraph them across the Atlantic to America, so that within a few hours of Spurgeon having preached in London to packed out huge buildings, his messages were being transcribed and transmitted all the way over in America. So, maybe you're that person today that God has called. But I'm sure I'm not trying to single anybody out. I'm just saying we're all here for a reason. And I want to encourage you that you've done the right thing coming today. Not that the others have done the wrong thing by staying away. That's for them to decide in their own conscience and the situation that they're at. And I'm sure for some of them it's better that they did stay away today. But you are here. And you are here by a divine appointment. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity to dig into your word, to have a look, Lord, at this world situation, and to just reflect and think and spend a few moments, Lord, in the madness of this coronavirus, to hear that still small voice that Elijah heard so many years ago. In the time of national crisis for him, Lord, and you heard that still small voice. Lord, we want to hear that voice. Still, small, quiet, but insistent and powerful and life-changing and world-changing. Lord, may we hear that voice this morning. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. So we've been going through a time quite unusual. I don't remember a time ever like this in my whole life where the whole world has stopped. The whole world is like on one page. The whole world is, what's going on here? How are we going to cope with this thing? It's incredibly stressful. You think of our brothers and sisters in Italy, so many dying. It's unbelievable that the mortality, deaths in Italy. And then, so you kind of think of all the negative stuff. On the positive side, it's been amazing, the enemies that are talking to each other, the enemies that are working together. Somebody on the radio the other day said, how could you get Ramaphosa, Steenhuisen, and Malema working together? Answer, send the coronavirus. And we've had a Skype call with friends of ours in Sacramento, California. He's a lawyer working for the state of California. And he said, I've never seen the governor, it was Los Angeles, the governor of California, and Trump ever exchanging kind and conciliatory words with each other, but they did this week. He said, I've never seen anything like it in my life. So there's good things that come out of it. You know, we lead a mad, insane life. We do far too many things. We have far too many activities. So another blessing of Corona is we get to be quiet and still and think about where's the world going? Where am I going? And that is exactly the kind of mindset that I want to encourage in you this morning as we look at the Word of God. So what is God saying to us through Corona? And I think, you know, for a Christian, we have to look at these things differently. This now, I think from 12 o'clock, there's 24 hours of prayer. In this country, whatever faith or no faith or whatever, they're asking you to commit to an hour to pray for the people who are victims of it. Just help me, all the details. There's a whole, like, 3 or 4 points that they wanted people to pray about. And I'd encourage you to do that. I think that's a very, very valuable thing. But my focus, as I've prayed and sweated through this week, is what is God saying to you and to me? What is he saying? And I think we've got to say, what is God saying to me as a follower, as a disciple of Jesus in Corona? What is he calling me to do and to be at this time? Because our witness, friends, is incredibly important. People have lost hope. They don't know which end is up. Some of them are in denial. They say, oh, forget it. This is a joke. It'll be over soon. Others are in panic state, a whole lot of things. And my question is, what is God calling forth from you in this time? And I want you to think about this in the light of this passage. I'm going to preach from Numbers chapter 20. Just a few verses from chapter 20, verse 1. I'm reading from the NIV. In the first month, the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Zin, and they stayed at Kadesh. There Miriam died and was buried. Okay, now Miriam, there were the three top leaders. And what's the context here? They've left Egypt. Okay, I want you to imagine here. Let me just give you a quick mental map. Okay, here's Egypt. Here's the Nile River, and then it goes up to Palestine over here. They went across this sea, and they went south. There's a big triangle of land, which today is a very highly contested area called Sinai. And they went south, and they went to the Mount Sinai, where God gave them the Ten Commandments. Then they started going north, up. Okay? And they're getting ready to go over the Jordan into the Promised Land to receive the inheritance God gave them. They had a little place, a little oasis in the desert called Kadesh Barnea. Features quite often in the scriptures. You'll come across it quite often, and that's where they are now. Now, they're in a desert. Have you ever seen pictures of that Sinai desert? It's a genuine, real, unmodified desert. There was no water for the community. And the people gathered in opposition. Whenever people need stuff and they don't have it, and you're supposed to give it to them, you're going to get it in the neck. And that's exactly what happened to Moses. And the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, "If only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord." They're referring to an event. Now, here's the context. God wanted them to go from Mount Sinai, go straight into the promised land. And they had the report of the spies and they said, "We are too nips. We are too scared to go in. We're not going in." God said, "Okay, if you're not going in, you're going to spend 40 long years wandering in that desert of Sinai," which is where they were. They're now nearly at the end of this period. They've gone through huge ups and downs. Moses, we think, was 80 when he went in to Egypt to lead them out. And this is now 30 years later, so he's at least 100, 110 years of age, and he's still going strong. Moses was amazing. But I think he's had a guts full of these guys. They quarreled with Moses and said, "If only we had died with our brothers." There was a big chedunta with them, some part of the Levites claiming special treatment and claiming that they could be as good, if not better, than Aaron. And God sent a plague. God often does send plagues. There's a whole issue here involved in the providence of God. Just kind of make one point. This world does not belong to the World Health Organization or to George Soros or to the United Nations or to anybody. This world and this universe belongs to one person alone, and that's to God. And he is sovereign and he does what he wants with his world. And that's the picture of God that we get from the Word of God. And these guys had been arguing with him, so there were previous stuff here. You know, "Moses, things are so miserable here. I wish we'd died with these guys that got killed by God for their apostasy, for their despising of the order of God. Why did you bring the Lord's community into the desert that we should die? That we and our livestock should die here?" Notice the "you." Why did you? They were mad keen to get out of Israel and the 400 years of slavery they'd had there. They wanted to get out. Now they're blaming Moses. It's Moses' fault. Next complaint. Why did you bring us out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs. I mean, what did you expect in a desert? Did you expect a Woolworths or a Pick and Pay? There are no grain or figs, grapevines or pomegranates. And most of all, there's no water to drink. And we know what water shortage is like in this country. So they are really mad. And instead of putting their faith in God and trusting God, they take it out on their leaders. Moses and Aaron went from the assembly, I'm at verse 6, to the entrance to the tent of meeting and fell face down. When was the last time you fell face down? In a church? In your bedroom? Moses and Aaron fell face down. They were at the end of their rope in so many ways. Maybe that's where you are today. In the middle of that total end, we can't cope anymore. What happens? The glory of the Lord appeared to them. And friends, I want to be bold and say this morning, the glory of God can appear in this place this morning. But you have to fall face down. You have to come with no pride, no chairs, no props, no cover-up, face down. And the glory of the Lord appeared to him. Not, and what was the glory of the Lord? It was this unspoken radiance and presence of God that was so powerful that you couldn't even, in some cases, if you go through the different stories in the Bible, it was so powerful that sometimes you couldn't even stand up. Your legs, your knees became weak and you fell down. Even if you didn't fall down at the beginning, if the glory of God was revealed, it not only changed you in your spirit, it changed you physically. You couldn't endure it. It was that powerful. The glory of the Lord appeared to them, but it wasn't just glory, it was revelation. Okay? Not only the revelation of the nature of God, here is God speaking His will in this situation. The Lord said to Moses, take the staff. Wow, that staff had seen some service. It had been lifted up as the sea parted. It had been used in so many different events. It was the rod of Aaron that budded, okay, in the controversy. Who's appointed by God? Us or Aaron? And God said, Aaron's the one I've appointed. You guys are just trying to take power where you have no right to take it. And so there was a whole thing there with so it's that same rod. And you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock. Speak to that rock. Speak to coronavirus. Speak to the situation in your life. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so that they and their livestock can drink. So, Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, here it gets very interesting because Moses has had it. And he becomes angry where he shouldn't have become angry. He says, listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? And I can tell you this, it's not in there, but I have thought long and hard about this. That doesn't guarantee it's true. But my impression here is that Moses knew God was going to bring the water out, whatever way. So he was really imposing on God. He was taking advantage of God, and he had lost his temper. Remember, this is an old man, eh? This is a man who has seen God in the burning bush in the desert. He's seen the miracles with Pharaoh. He's brought this bunch of misfits out through the desert. He's had them to Sinai. He's been given the Ten Commandments. Amazing things have happened through this man. You would have thought, as a mature believer in God, that he was in the right place. But he wasn't. And I want to ask you this morning, how many years have you been on the road with Jesus? Maybe it's a long time. It doesn't change the fact that your attitude has to be right with God. And we can lose our patience as we get tired. Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of the rock, out of this rock? By the way, 1920, just in case you think this is a fairy story, another one of those stories. 1920, there was a British army platoon out in the Sinai desert there, in this area. And this one guy took a spade and he hit a rock and huge amounts of water started gushing out. It's actually a historical account. I can give you all the details. And today, in northern Sinai, Kadesh Barnea, it's hard to exactly find out where Kadesh Barnea is today, but it's more or less in that area, is the largest oasis in the northern Sinai, is still there. And In 1965, the water that was coming out of the ground in that place was 40 cubic meters of water an hour, was pouring out of the ground, and still is, to the best of my knowledge. And the historical stuff that I consulted was pretty accurate. It wasn't on the internet. So, there is water there. Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out in the community, and their livestock drank. Okay, end of story. The people have their water. We've survived this crisis, and we can move on. Don't think that for one moment. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. Wow. That is one solemn pronouncement of God. Here's a man who served God the most part, for the most part, as an exemplary leader, who was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Elijah and Jesus in the New Testament. The man who gave us the law and the Ten Commandments upon which Judeo-Christian civilization is founded even to this very day. And whenever we forsake those Ten Commandments, we make a mess. Here's a man who paid a huge, high price, and God was saying, on the very verge, a few months away from taking the people into the promised land, you are not going to do it. You're not going to do it. I am punishing you. And what are the charges the Lord laid against Moses and Aaron? Remember, Miriam had just died, eh? Because you did not trust in me enough. Friends, I think the thing God is calling us to do in these days of coronavirus, and we don't know how it's going to end, might be all over in March. It might be another year of catastrophe and all kinds of things that we can't even imagine now. Whatever happens, God is saying to us, you need to trust me. Friends, I don't know if you realize the impact that you have on non-Christian lives if you are a Christian who really trusts in God. These guys are trusting in, there's all kinds of things going on the internet about corona, and they do this and just meditate and be quiet and look out the window and look at the trees and all that kind of stuff. Just kind of chill your mind out. Friends, it's garbage. You need to have faith in a living God. You need to trust a living God, the one who made this universe, the one who is the God of providence, who in his providence allows all kinds of things to happen. He doesn't will it actively, but he allows it to happen and works it into the tapestry of his will. We've got to have faith for that one split second of saying, I've had it with these guys. I'm just going to yell at them and I'm going to hit this rock in anger and I don't care what anybody thinks. In that moment, he lost it. And he lost the opportunity to go into the lead the people in where he battled for 40 more years. He should have been there. He should have been walking across the Jordan. He should have been at the head as they tore down Jericho, as Pastor Piff was preaching. He should have been there. God said, you can be my believer for 40 plus years. I don't yield to anything else. You have to trust in me. You have to believe in me. And it goes further than believing. You did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites. Wow. We've got to honor our God as holy. Where people malign him and say, look what God has brought into this world with Corona. We've got to say, we have a holy God. And he is in charge. And I am his disciple. I am his follower. And I'm going to do what he wants me to do. And I'm going to trust him. And if there's no water, I'll trust him. And if there is water, I'm going to trust him. God wanted Moses to speak the word of God to that rock. But Moses struck the rock in anger and self-will. At that point, he failed as a follower of God. And we failed too. And the purpose of this message and the purpose of this morning and the purpose of God having us few people here this morning is to say to you, don't make the mistake that Moses made. And he'd just been face down. He'd seen the glory of God. And he went out there in the hurly-burly of the moaning, complaining, selfish generation, the earlier generation had already died off. These were the upstarts, the millennials. Sorry, millennials. These were the millennials who were crying, it's not fair, it's not just. We're going to talk to our member of parliament about you. You're going to jail. So Moses was in this place. So friends, you can be a young Christian and make a mistake. You can be an older Christian and been with the Lord for many years. Don't dispense. You can never dispense with faith. And that's what God is calling from us all in the Corona situation, is faith. And then to honor God as holy in the sight of the Israelites. There's so much involved here. You did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy. And they just had this amazing revelation of the glory of God. Wow. You can come so close and you can go so far if you don't stick to the word of God and what God is telling you to do. Okay, now just a little historical note here, and not historical. I don't know if you get this magazine, Joy magazine. This is the latest one. There's a very interesting article in here on Kenya. Let's see if I can just hold it up for you, if I can find it here. Very interesting article about the plague of locusts. Have you heard about the locust plague in Kenya? It's really serious. When you want to find something, you can't find it. It's here. Here it is. Locust plague of biblical proportions. There's a tragic picture in there. The young boy, son of a farmer, crying out, his arms up in the midst of this field of maize with the locusts like as thick as anything, in absolute distress. The clouds of locusts are, they've measured them from satellites and whatever, 60 kilometers long, 40 kilometers wide, one single mass of consuming locusts. They can eat in one day the food that would feed, I think it was 1,200 people. No, sufficient to feed 2,500 people, they can destroy in one day. And all the research and everything with the World Health Organization, UN, is saying this thing is getting worse. And it's going to be a huge plague. So how do the people of Kenya, the Christians in Kenya, respond? Here's what they do. Kenyan Christians are calling for national repentance and prayer as they endure this plague of locusts. So friends, that's the right way to respond to corona. Repentance and prayer, faith, the kind of faith that God really wanted Moses to show in him that he failed. May you and I not fail at this critical time in this history, the history of this nation. I'm going to close with a song. And I would have invited you to sing it with me, but the tune only got written this week. So, but there's an amazing story to this. I'm just going to do it acoustic, all right? Let's put the thing in. Let's try it, see how it goes. Can I put it in your socket there? Thanks. There was a man in... thanks. Thank you guys for your help. Thank you guys. There was a man, a preacher, Lutheran pastor, who lived in what was the worst history of Europe. It was called the 30 Years' War, which went from, where did I write down the date here? Yeah, it went from 1660, and then you add on 30 years. 30 Years' War is very under research. It was the most significant and horrific war that Europe ever had. And people were starving. There were whole villages running around like animals fighting for food. They'd go into a walled city in Europe of those days. They'd tear everything apart looking for food. And the only way the locals could get rid of them was they'd take a pike. You know what a pike was? It's a spear with a very sharp point at the end. And they would just herd these human beings out of their city like animals. It was the only way they could survive. And these guys would go outside, and many of them were already sick with the plague. Plague is a bubonic plague which killed many, many millions of people in Europe. So we're talking really tough times. And here's this man, his name is Martin Rinkhart. And he was the Lutheran pastor in this one little German town where everything was going wrong. People were coming through, people were dying. Do you know that this man, as the pastor, was burying between 40 and 50 people a day? He was burying 40 to 50 people a day who were dying of the plague. And it was just horrific what was going on. They worked out that in his lifetime he probably buried about 4,344 people. This was plague. Unbelievable. And how did he respond to this? He responded with faith. He responded in a way that recognized the holiness of God. He responded in a way that was so powerful. And what he did in the midst of all of this was he wrote a hymn. Some of you will know this. Most of you probably won't. It's called Now Thank We All Our God. And this hymn was written in the midst of 50 funerals a day. Some of his own family, some of the people in his church, just people in the village, they were burying them at a huge rate. And Martin Rinkhart wrote this hymn. It's a very famous hymn in Europe. There's another tune that you will, if you know this hymn, you'll note another tune. And as I was praying this week about the service, I just wanted to send you out rejoicing. I wanted to send you out praising. I wanted to send you out thanking God. Whether your life lasts for 5 minutes or 50 years, it doesn't matter. God is in control. God's providence is going to work all things. We read in Romans, all things work together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. So you can go out of here and you can let the bright light of Christ's life and your faith in Him make a difference this week. Now, maybe you've never come to know Him as Lord. That's today's the day. Come talk to one of us afterwards and we'll be happy to pray with you. Okay, so here's the... Can you give me a bit of sound on the guitar? Thanks. Can you hear it? Okay. Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices. Why don't you clap? Okay, 3, 4. Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices. The wondrous things has done in whom this world rejoices. Listen. Who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Let's clap. Oh Lord, we praise You, we honor You, You are the mighty God. Verse 2. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us with ever joyful hearts. Listen. And blessed peace to cheer us and keep us in His grace and guide us when perplexed and free us from all ills in this world and the next. Let's clap. We praise You, Lord, in the middle of Corona. We exalt You, Lord. Nothing can defeat us, Lord. All praise and thanks to God the Father now be given. Oh, the Son and Him who reigns with them in highest heaven, the one eternal God, whom earth and heaven adore. For thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore. Oh Lord, let's praise Him. Praise the Lord, who in His providence governs all things. Oh Lord, let our faith be strong. May we honor You in the midst of this plague, this coronavirus, Lord. We worship You, Lord. There is none like You, Lord. May our faith be strong. May we follow You in all things. May we glorify You, O Lord, and honor You with everything that we say and do. May we be a bright light for You, Lord. In the midst of this darkness, be the light. We praise You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. We think of Moses, Lord. They're stuck in the desert. And You revealed Your glory to him, Lord. And You've revealed Your glory to us today. May we not hit the rock. May we speak to the rock. In the name of Jesus and the power of the Spirit. And see the deliverance of our God. May we go into this week, Lord, with all its challenges and all its difficulties, may we be cheerful. May we be happy. May we be filled with the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. May we have faith, Lord. Faith that you have brought your people through so many things. We want to pray, Lord, for our brothers and sisters in Kenya with this terrible locust plague, Lord. May they repent of the things they need to repent, like we need to repent of the stupid and sinful and rebellious things we've done in this country, Lord. May they repent, and as they fall down on their knees and their faces before you, Lord, and you reveal your glory to them, may they stand up and see the deliverance of our God. May those locusts disappear. May the fields return to fruitfulness and the harvest be bountiful, Lord. In your mercy, we pray for them and for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Here we go. Come, let's stand together. And as we journey into a new week, we don't know what the week has in store.